Yeah, call to order.
We'll call the meeting to order at 7:06:07. We have Alderman Terulis, Alderman Funkhauser, and Chief Hart, and other guests. Since we don't have a quorum, we'll have to limit ourselves to discussing items on the agenda and go from there. So I guess we'll start with minutes of the last meeting. Any comments, corrections, additions?
I did not see anything that stood out on that one.
I have none, but since we can't take any action, then.
So we'll bring it back at our next meeting for approval then, huh? That works.
Police, PS 2018-10, police reports for February.
Nothing that really jumps out, very predictable.
My question was, anything jump out?
No.
Look for something to jump out at me.
You know, just February is usually a slower month for us. You know, it's in the heart of the winter and everybody's inside and behaving for the most part, so. But.
I know we see this quarterly, but is this the first time that we've had the statute actually listed on there? Because I think, is this the new one, this report?
Yeah, it might be one of the UCR kind of requirements things, okay. That they're printing it off the UCR list, so that's probably why it's putting it in there.
Which actually is nice, because it actually, I can see which one's a state and which one's a municipal.
Yeah.
By doing that, that's actually kind of nice, you can see.
Are you talking about the adjudication reports and stuff?
Just on the police reports.
Okay, gotcha, police
reports. Yeah, first column, it has the actual statute, which.
Gotcha.
I think that's
That's probably the new one of the new software packages things that types up.
Yeah, that's actually nice to. It's a quick reference just to see if it's local or state, and yeah, it's nice for searching things out. Okay.
Well, it wouldn't be a voting item anyway, so we'll move on to the next one. Mm-hmm. PS 2018-11 adjudication reports for April, June.
Really, the only thing that's fairly new with this is that Newark is now joining our adjudication process. So it's their first one was up a couple weeks ago, that the first time we had them there. So we'll just see how this works out for them. And they had their city administrator came out and was the one that was presenting for them.
Okay.
Good.
And the way it works is they go after we do. We do ours, we close our hearing, they open their hearing.
Thanks, Ben. Rather low volume so far.
Yeah, I think that was the first one. I know it was the first one.
Okay.
But if the sheriff's office, who works their city on a contractual basis, if they issue adjudication tickets, they will come present those from the sheriff's office. And if it's coming from the city end of it for code violations, it'll be from their city administrator.
All right. Sounds good.
Other comments? Move on to the next item. PS 2018-12, liquor code amendments.
Basically what this is we're trying to unify our ordinances. Right now, the way it goes, state law says that we have the ability to choose if we want servers to be 21 years old or 18 years old. And I just read over the first sheet on there that the way it works now is waitresses or waiters can serve alcohol at 18, but if you go into packaged goods, they cannot. So what the city's asking is if we could just clarify this and make it 18 across the board, and just go from there, you know.
I don't know, I initially thought, well, why, but I've just come around to thinking, you know, why not just be equal across the board with this.
Yeah, and that was just kind of the clarification. Either way, we just want to make it clear. But I know at, you know, restaurants and stuff, the request was made many years ago, and there was a burden on some of the smaller family-owned restaurants to have a waiter or a waitress over 21. A lot of times they have their kids working in there with them and have an 18-year-old just grab a beer off and serve it to the, you know, and we haven't had any problems with that. So, and I know we've been getting some complaints with, like, at Jewel or something like that, that, you know, they have to wait for someone 21 to come all the way.
Well, I was saying to you earlier that sometimes you go into a restaurant, you order a drink, and the waitress will say, I can't.
Well, and see, and some of the restaurants have a policy, they got to be 21 and over. And their insurance, from what I understand, mandates some of those companies to do that. So if that's an inside rule, I get it. But, I mean, we're just looking for clarification to make it the same across the board.
Do you think we have a lot of 18-year-olds doing package?
No. Well, if you go to, like, Jewel or if you go to Target, I think they might
have some. True, I wouldn't think of that. Yeah.
I think Jewel and Target. But, you know, I think if you're going to the gas stations, most of them seem to be over 18 years old. Most of them seem to be 21 or older.
Yeah, I wasn't even thinking about Jewel. I was thinking more package liquors. But
yeah, and I think with those, there's, in today's day and age, there's a lot of oversight in general with the security cameras and everything. If something does happen, it is covered in that aspect. So my initial reaction was kind of like yours, you know, drinking age is 21, it should be 21, not having it click that in the bars they're already serving.
Right.
But I do know some of them don't. You know, there are some that you go to, you sit down, and they have to have someone else bring it out because it must be an internal policy.
Yeah, I think from my experience, from watching the underage buys that we do, it's everyone's over 21 that's serving liquor. I think the 18-year-olds know what that driver's license looks like more than the adults do, you know, because it's to the horizontal. It's up and down instead of the side to side, you know, and it's... Like when we always explain to them, if you see a driver's license that's up and down, you just don't even look at the date, you hand it back. You know, and if you look at, you know, like servers and stuff like that, it's always the ones that are over 18 or over 21 that are really looking at that thing going, this is weird, and they're trying to figure out the date. And but the kids all know because they know.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you know this, because I know you said that this was brought from the administration side. Was there any push from anyone in the city for this, or is this a code clarification that is just going through?
I think it's a little bit of both.
Okay.
I can't tell you 100%, but I seem to remember that there was some discussion about somebody was saying, hey, you know.
I think Bart did mention that someone had approached him on it, but I can't remember.
Because I'm
And part of the issue, too, is, and here's, I know part of the other issue was, is we have food places that are bars that also can sell packaged goods.
Yeah.
And that was part of the confusion issue is, okay, you know, an 18 or 19-year-old working, you know, as a waiter or waitress can take the alcohol out to serve it to them, but if they order a 12-pack to go, you know, technically they can't go get the 12-pack and give them the 12-pack, you know, so and I think I remember part of the discussion was is I would assume if they're serving alcohol, they're probably serving the packaged goods at the same place too.
And I don't want to hamstring a business. It would be nice to know if there's someone that's brought it up that there's an issue. I'm of mind that if it's not broken, don't fix it.
Yeah.
And that's where I don't know.
I'll have Bart get back to you.
There is nothing.
Yeah, since we're not taking action anyways, right. I'll have Bart get to you.
And I don't recall who he who he mentioned.
I do remember something about that a while back, because they did ask me and Gary if we would support the 18.
I know this comes down to, you know, state versus municipal. Personally, my preference is drop the drinking age to 18. If you can serve, you should be able to drink. But there's a lot more that goes into that. That's not something we can do. But in terms of consistency, it would be nice if it's consistent. I can see there could be some issues. Depending on what type of business you have, you could easily have issues, like you said. But it would be nice to clarify it and have it consistent one way or the other.
That would be my opinion just as well. I mean, we should be.
Yeah, if we can just get a little information.
Even across the board and
not either way, 18 or 20. One way.
Right.
But the one thing is, if we go to 21, that would possibly put a couple of minors out of work.
Yeah, put some hardship on some businesses.
Yeah, so, you know.
Yes.
Agreed. Easier to go the other way. So. We'll continue this discussion, sounds like.
As we will continue all the others.
So we're on our quarterly right now.
Do you think there's
any impetus to bring this back next month as compared to week three? Or bring
we
it back?
We can talk to Bart. I would like to get rid of this vehicle pretty quickly on the next item in the agenda, so the quicker we can get rid of it, the better. So.
Yeah. Well, this one here, It's not gonna go on this coming council.
Right.
Because it's already published. We can bring it back in 2 weeks or wait till next month.
I don't have a problem with meeting, you know.
Yeah, we can schedule a meeting when Carlo gets back.
Yeah, because I don't think, this doesn't sound like something that's extremely high priority that somebody's itching, otherwise.
If I have to wait a few more months, it's not the end of the world, but.
Well, it's, you know, I think we should kind of up our 3 month schedule here.
Yeah.
And meet a little bit sooner if we have an issue or two.
Bi-monthly, yeah. All right.
Yeah, well. All right, PS 2018-13, request for disposal of vehicle.
We had already talked about that.
Yes.
At one point. The clarification we made is that the vehicle's not covered by insurance or any warranty issues. And what we're looking to do now, originally we had talked about taking it out to auction. Now we're looking at doing a sealed bid. We'll publish it on the website and publish it out and let people bid on it. And whoever we get the highest bid from, we take it. It's got a blown engine on it. Problem with going to auction is we'd have to have it towed both ways. It'd be several hundred dollars to tow it, and I just don't want to waste the money on that.
It'll be more time effective and cost effective to just seal bid it.
Yep.
No issues with it.
We have had several people approach us that are very interested in it.
Okay.
One of them being one of our tow truck drivers, and we just figured, you know, sealed bid process is probably the most fair and equitable way to do it, you know.
What, if anything, do you salvage from a vehicle like that, or do you, well, what, if anything?
What they're going to do, because it's got 100,000 miles on it, just a little over 100,000. The body's in incredibly good shape still, so someone can rebuild the motor and put it in.
Well.
But for us to do it, it's like between $8,000 and $10,000 or $11,000 for us to rebuild the motor and put it in there. And then the way that goes a lot of times is the transmission will go right after that. And
sure.
So it's just not worth the money for us to put into it.
What is the cost for us to remove striping and remove equipment?
Because
I know we...
I don't know the exact number, but I want to say $250 is to take the stripe. Now, I think it was less than $200 to take the striping out. And I want to say to get the equipment out was probably like another $300. So it was less than $500.
Okay.
I don't have the exact, but I know it wasn't that expensive.
If you want to get that, if even just shoot it out to an email, I'd be interested to know what it costs to take the vehicle out of service.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
No problem, and I know that it's got an old obsolete video camera in it, and it's got an old obsolete...
because those aren't coming back in. We're getting new equipment for the cameras.
On some of the newer cars, we'll flip them twice if the equipment still works. But the problem is the video cameras seem like they, you know... They update them so quick now that by the time 4 or 5 years comes, they're obsolete.
Well, for the record, I'm good with it.
Yeah. I'll get you those numbers because we just had it done, so it's no big deal.
I'm okay doing this.
We actually just quoted them out for Bart for the, it's probably in the packet. Well, we didn't go, I don't think it went in the packet yet. But I have the information because we just quoted out trading a car in. Mm-hmm. And I know the cost of de-striping it and taking the equipment out is in that packet.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be good because I'd like to know what we're doing once we're all said and done. What do we get on the bid and then what it costs to take it out of service and find out what really is going back into the capital fund. Mm-hmm. And that goes into citywide capital, correct?
Yeah. Capital or general, I'm not sure.
Doesn't go into the police.
Right, it does not go into our fund now. We don't get that money. It
has to be reappropriated.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Did we do citizen comments?
No, we didn't do citizen comments. We want to do citizen comments?
I would hope you would.
I just looked at that. I'm like, well, we forgot to do this.
Step right up.
Yes,
the plate
thank you here. So much. Yes, you bet. This will make it a lot easier, I think, than reading between yourselves.
Thank you.
It's kind of self-explanatory. But
since we're not following any of the rules,
yeah, we're just having a discussion tonight, so. Sorry about that.
Good. Hey, we're over at Public Safety. We're seeing if you're popping internet. We don't have a quorum, but. But we pretty much were just doing no action, so we just kind of went through it.
You're welcome.
Okay, no problem, no problem. We'll talk to you later. Right, bye. He's not gonna make it.
I'll give the chief a minute to read through it. It's not very lengthy, but it gets right to my point.
This is the north side of River's Edge where this incident occurred. So you're on the north side. This has always been an issue that I've had about this subdivision because there was to be a road along the east edge. And that was to be the kind of a secondary. There's no way out really once there's
no
trains out. Yeah.
The problem, and it really, I really look at it as a serious, you know, nothing is serious until it becomes serious, right?
We've not had a serious incident.
And God willing, we won't. But if we did, it's tragic to think that a company can hold a community hostage for, this was over 40 minutes. And I can tell you, I mean, I hear them all the time. The horn issue is a whole other issue, but this is a safety issue. This is maybe a woman being battered. This is maybe a child drank something that's poisonous. This could be a kid gets hit by a car. This could be someone's house is on fire. This could be, just have tragic consequences. There has to be a way that I think they have to be held to task to say, Illinois used to have in the country, the recognizable time limit is 20 minutes. Illinois had a 10-minute limit. But then the railroads took them to court, and now it's kind of, there's no firm policy right now, okay? It's like they have this get-out-of-jail card. It's interstate commerce and you can't stop it and it has to go. I get that, but not at this risk. Not where you have over 100 cars on that train. That train is slow moving. It's not like the CNN or the, you know, it's not like that. These things move very slowly. You couple up 100 plus cars on this thing and then it stops. I don't know why they stop, but they stop all the time in there. They come to a complete dead stop. Then you're going to wait 5 to 10 minutes, and then they start again, and then you wait till it's over. And it just struck me that morning when I was there. I said, boy, if there was an ambulance on the other side of this thing, I would be furious. So all I'm saying is maybe there's a lot, I don't know, maybe the people that run this train, you know, have a conscience. Maybe they do. I mean, I don't know if you can forcibly make them do anything, but just to appeal to their better judgment of what is really safe and what is not. And I get the fact, you know, I moved in here and that train was there. I get that fact. But I don't think, I'm there now, almost 4 years. And I'm telling you, I never saw this problem until this year. I've never seen these trains as long, and I've never seen them stop before. And they're doing both right now. And I just think it's a serious, serious matter of safety.
I think you have a very bad point.
Yeah, and we've seen the train numbers increase. And I know they have stopped in the past, but I think the point of the trains getting longer is truly valid. They are moving a lot more product on that rail line. You know, we've seen it. There's more trains, the frequency's there. We may just have to have a very candid conversation with them that we have one area in town that is a limited access, and it probably is. They're probably stopping at the same point. Because I think if they're stopping the train, they probably have a set point where the engines need to stop. But if the trains are getting longer, they may be just exceeding that.
This was a long
space.
I'm telling you,
and so,
this is a long, long train that I witnessed.
Yeah.
And there's been another one since that time
that has done a similar.
Same.
I know Bart has a. Bart and the mayor both have a rapport with the local person from the railroad. I think if we have a start with a conversation, what's the issue? Is it a issue of train length or a lack of knowledge on the engineers and the conductors on where they're stopping. You know, obviously, they have to be able to move the train. We're not going to be able to stop them from putting them through. And the speed, honestly, I'm happy that they're not going through any faster. I just think it's maybe coordinating to make sure that they don't block that. I mean, I think that's the only one that creates a problem for us. That's one way in, one way out.
It's a twofold issue. And I remember when they made that subdivision, there was some discussion about that.
Yeah, we had to have another way eventually.
Yeah, because it's, you know, there was an issue there because you're supposed to not have something get blocked like that.
Yeah. I guess the other one is White Oak Estates. Right, there are six or seven.
Yeah, there's
homes.
A handful of houses down there at the
not
bottom
many.
Of White Oak. Yeah, not like River's deep. Edge. But I don't know why they're stopping over there. I know that they've got an inherent problem with the tracks on that curve over there, that if they go
that's
too
why they
fast,
go so slow, yeah.
They've had derailments, and that's why they go so slow through there to try to prevent that. They've had more than one. But it's a very valid point. I'll definitely talk with Bart a little bit more about it that way.
I appreciate that. So
I have noticed I've lived within a couple blocks of those train tracks for the last 23 years, and I've definitely noticed that the trains have gotten longer and coming at more hours of the night. And used to be one or two trains a month, and now it's four or five trains, six trains a day sometimes.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And I've noticed that too. I got stuck downtown a few weeks back for probably a good 20 or 30 minutes.
While I'm here, okay, there is one more issue that Fred is very aware of as well. And that kind of deals with the speed limit in our subdivision. Mm-hmm. Because of that park is a kid magnet. I'm telling you, every kid in that subdivision ends up at some point of the day in that park. It's a lovely park, very well thought out, but I see kids all the time. I'm telling you, I've got grandchildren, so I'm very conscious of when I come into there. You know, I'm maybe a little more responsible than the average person, but I don't go faster than 20 in there. And I think had I been in a car, I think I probably would have hit a kid already at 20. They just dart out. There's some families that live right across from there, and they're small guys, and they're kids. Their kids are just going to be kids, you know. And if we could get that posted at 20, I don't know who, Chief, if you could bounce it off.
We have a state limitation on
the
speed limit.
Yeah, I was just going to say, the state kind of tells us what it has to be.
Is that right?
We're not home rule. So yeah. We have a minimum that we can apply, which is what all our city streets
could
are.
Maybe
now,
a caution sign be put up?
One thing we do have, when I was on Public Works, we came up with the, were you on there with me when we did it? It's the traffic calming toolbox, which gives us a handful of tools that we can use to try to reduce speed, you know, whether it's the signage, speed tables, you know, reducing the lane width. There are things we can look at. And that's something that the issues
right.
brought up, we can put it
right,
to Public Works
agree.
And have
that's,
them assess what can be
yeah.
done.
Yeah. It'd have to be along those lines, but yeah.
We yeah. can.
Fred is safe, he's witnessed it, right or wrong.
Oh, yeah. Just a couple days ago, I had a little girl pull out in front of me down there.
Yep.
And the fact that the is actually a transportation safety park, you know, being a designer
right.
of that park, I know it very, very well.
The lovely park.
So I appreciate your comments.
No, I do. I really do. It's a wonderful park.
It would be nice if the actual adults that are driving around the, you know, children's educational park would obey the law and actually respect the kids that are out there.
And you know, I've seen police watching it, and I appreciate them being there.
Yeah, we it's one of our extra watch areas.
Yeah.
You know, we have several extra watch areas, and that's one of them that kind of is in and out, you know. I get it. We totally get it. But, you know, it's like you said, we're stuck at that minimum 30 because
yeah.
we're not a home rule community. If we get the home rule right. status,
we
could
drop that.
We could readdress issues
right.
and stuff, but we're stuck at that 30.
So if it ever comes up for home rule, this is definitely a conversation we would love to have about making sure that
yeah.
addressing speed limits are
sure.
safer. That's the kind of things we could do.
It's a shame we aren't able to get out to the community all the things that really benefit us
us from having home rule, you know. You can throw out a few things, but you have to stop at some point, and the list goes, you know, a mile long.
Mm-hmm. Most people
see everything that's on there, well, you know.
There's
you can put more sympathetic.
There are, absolutely. You have to have a conscious set of people up on the council there to not take advantage of it.
Can I add a couple things to what Rich was talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Going back to White Oak, I think there's no egress for those folks down too on the north side of the tracks, is there?
No.
Correct. And I was just looking to see the distance between the two crossings, and I believe the way that that is it was intended that that space between those would have been sufficient for a train stoppage. But I don't think that's necessarily the case anymore with the longer trains.
So no. Those areas are deeded by the railroad? Okay.
Yeah.
The other thing I was going to talk about with blocking the intersections like that, I don't know if you weren't here yet when they had the derailment, the big derailment,
no.
And they had an ambulance that was stuck on my side of the tracks, and he couldn't get through down there. They ended up having to break the cars apart to get them through. Yeah. But I'm curious to see if the chief here at the fire district has a program or a policy in place if that happens.
I couldn't actually tell you.
Okay.
I really couldn't.
Can we check on it?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah, I'm not sure if they do or not.
That's all I have.
Does anybody know how often a trains go through that?
Oh, they vary.
That section.
Oh, it varies. It varies. You get sometimes three of them after midnight. It's wild.
It's different times of day than
night. It's a lot more.
You always know if one heads west, it's got to go back.
The reason I asked is I had a down payment on a house in Rivers about 9 or 10 years ago.
Yeah, it always, if it goes west, it's got to come back east. They come from the east.
Hey, Rich, could you check?
And I remember asking the question, you know, about trains, and it was, hardly ever.
That's why, you told us when we built on our side, on south side, because of that fact that you can't get out of there. I was a fireman 30 years, so that was in my mind.
When we were having some conversations about the train studies, mm-hmm. at one point I know we had said, you know, can we have a train count? And we were going to have the intern at the time sit down there for a couple days here and there and count the trains. Can you check and see if they actually had that done? Because mm-hmm. the railroad won't give us numbers.
Oh, they won't. Of course they won't.
No. Some of them are generally published, but they might be 10-year-old data.
You know, they're usually fairly uncooperative with those kinds of things. So.
They say that that's corporate information that they don't want to.
Right.
But, yeah, I thought we had said that we were going to at one point have an intern or someone down there and just count, see what went through for a day.
See, they're sporadic because they'll go 2 or 3 days without one.
And then they'll send
a bunch of intern. And all of a sudden it's just wham, 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 and then it's, you know, it's very sporadic. You know, that's one of those issues that 25 years ago, the Burlington was trying to deed those tracks over to the county and us to make a bike trail there, but none of the municipalities could agree on that back then in the county, so. But that track was almost closed.
I just remember umpteen times going to that building site and never seeing a train and thinking, well,
yeah, Burlington,
it's a good idea. Burlington. Luckily for me, I had emergency surgery and was able to back out of the contract because...
Yeah, it was literally at one point, they were running one or two trains a year.
Good decision.
For years. They ran one or two trains a year total, and that was it during the harvest season.
All right, well...
Thanks for your time.
Old business?
No, you don't want
it. Hearing none, we'll move on to... new business, additional business.
Thanks, please.
Yep, take care.
I'll just ask about how did it go with fireworks calls?
It went very good. We at the fireworks display itself, no. We had at the parade, we had an ambulance call with a kid suffering from a heat problem. Not a heat stroke, but a heat recall. But all in all, went good. We ended up canceling the fireworks at about 8:30 because of the incoming front. I was kind of worried about it, you know, because it looked pretty ominous as it was coming in, and it actually hit about 8:45, if I remember last night.
Yeah, right around there.
But it was a good call.
Yeah, the lightning was rather intense. Yeah. Granted, most of it was to the south side of town. Mm-hmm. Took it more than the north.
Yeah, it was heavy rain and all that. There was no way, but they're rescheduling on the 14th at Hideaway. I mean, 14th at downtown.
Yeah.
At the Riverfront Festival. They're going to shoot them off down there, which that'll be very unique. So.
Yeah, that'll be good.
My neighbor stopped shooting them off toward our house when my wife went outside and stood there and stared them down.
I hope they're over with now. I mean, you know, we always dread this time of the year. We try to get ahead of it as best we can and go warn habitual offenders and ahead of time to have a little discussion with them.
Well, unfortunately for us, we were dog sitting on top of it, so we had five dogs in the house.
You
can imagine what five scared dogs are.
Well, it's a very frustrating situation because over the last 5 or 10 years, it's gotten worse and worse, and they've got those loud boomers that go way up there and boom, and you know, not only do people have dogs, but you know, we have veterans with PTSD and stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
And I've got a friend that is very affected by it that just drives him nuts. You know, and
well, we put out a thing on our HOA, you know, about it, and you know, have some consideration for your neighbors.
We put out public releases between all the departments in the county, and we put out press releases and public information, and it just goes on deaf ears.
Yeah, I have three in my neighborhood that do the large mortars, and it seems every year, no matter what you say to them, can't get them to stop. It's never been the type of situation where they've been able to catch them.
Right.
And confiscate it. You know, that's the thing is, they're slick enough to just
get
past that. Because they know it takes a little bit, and you know, they get out there, they get back in.
We did issue some citations. I don't know how many yet, but I put an email out every year that we have zero tolerance policy, and I encourage the sergeants to coordinate who the habitual offenders are to go knock on the door and say, we will be watching.
Yeah.
You know, and but it's the ones that are 2 in the morning, 3, 4 in the morning are the ones that are bad. When
those
they rattle things on shelves. And I understand people's frustration.
These guys have improvised mortar tubes that don't quite give them the lift off they really need. When they barely touch the top of the trees, that's a little scary for me.
I just mentioned, too, as I mentioned to you earlier, that the motorized bike traffic on Kennedy Path seems to have halted.
Yeah, I hope that's... We've been keeping an eye on that, too. And I noticed that the cross-country runners and the track runners in the school are really using that now.
They are.
I was through there this morning about 6:45, and they were all running down Kennedy Road this morning.
I know there's 2 time slots, I think, that they run through that one. And they're using it a lot. So
I have to figure out, how fast do you think one of those... I don't know what the heck to call them. Pedal-powered racing bikes. How fast can one of those things go? Because I tell you, one went by the house the other day, and I was standing there, and I swear to God, it was doing 50 miles an hour. But I
can't. You know, that's a good question. I've seen those more and more. They're become more common. It looks like a bicycle. If you didn't know anybody any better, it would look like it's one of the old cruisers because it's got, you know, the larger pack right at the frame. But it's actually the generator or the motor. Does that fall into motorized vehicles? Or
Yes, it does.
Since it's
operated? You cannot operate any kind of motorized vehicle on a bike path or a sidewalk unless it's designated that you can do that.
So they could ride it on the bike path as long as they're not transitioning to the motorized component.
Right. Yeah, no motorized, and that's by our city ordinance too. City ordinance covers electric or gas, and so it's a city ordinance violation too if they're riding off of an electric motor on it.
So they can hop off of the trail onto the street and cruise there.
Yep.
Okay. Checking the limits of what they can do.
Any other comments? Business?
No.
Meeting adjourned.